But I want to turn your attention, please, into the book of John in chapter 21 and verse number 7. As I'll be going through this text in an expository way down to verse number 17 at least. And he tells us in John 21 verse 7, this was after the catch of the great multitude of fish, verse 7, and therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, the apostle John, he said to Peter, "It's the Lord." He had seen the great power of our Lord Jesus Christ in the miracle of the catch of fish. And now when Simon heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. You see his zeal, you see he's bold, he has courage, he has some leadership ability, he's an extravagant person. But he's sincere. Verse number 8, it said, "But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish." So they had to stick with their responsibilities. And they came a little bit slower, but they got there. Then verse 9, "As soon as they had come to land," so they didn't have time to prepare fish or cook fish, "they saw a fire of coals there, and the Lord Jesus Christ had already beat them to it, and fish that were laid on it, and bread. He didn't need their help or assistance. But Jesus said to them," in verse 10, "bring some of the fish which you have just caught." This is my first point, and it's the subject of this message. Bring some of the fish. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he did not need these fish, but he said, "Bring some of the fish." Because he doesn't need us, but he uses us. It is our privilege to be in the ministry of the gospel. As we're going to see in this passage, he tells us to feed his sheep and to feed his lambs. It is our privilege to be saved and used and transformed. Heaven does not need us, except he has set his love upon us in an electing way. There will be no tears in heaven at the day of judgment. It's in the book of the Revelations in chapter 19. But you hold your hand there in the book of John, chapter number 21. It is our text, and we're going to be going back into it over and over. But it's the book of the Revelation, chapter 19. We have a scene in heaven. It's unfolded. It's unveiled. As to when the judgment day has come. Is there going to be any crying in heaven among the believers because a child of God's parents aren't there? Is are we going to be crying if our children aren't there when that great day of judgment comes? No. It's we're going to be saying and shouting hallelujah and praise God as he sends men to hell. This was a shocking message I heard from a brother named Rolf Bonner. You can find him online. He has some excellent sermons. He passed away in 1969. But he preached a sermon called When the Saved Shout Hallelujah as God Sends Men to Hell. And what I'm saying here in this text is that God, he doesn't need us, but he set his love on us in an electing way. Like when the Lord Jesus said that he had need of that donkey. He chose that donkey. He had it tied up in a way that he would loose it at his word. And that donkey would come to serve him, and he would sit on it, and he would ride upon our back and enter into Jerusalem. I'm the donkey. I'm the colt. You. But in Revelations in chapter 19, verse number 1, after these things, after the judgment of the great whore, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, that's us who were saved, saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Revelations 19:2, for true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot. Even if my mother is in that crowd of the great harlot that's being judged by God, if our own parents are there, if our own twin brother is there, once that day comes, it will be nothing but shouts of praise and hallelujah from God's elect as we look upon our Lord Jesus Christ and our God and say, true and righteous are your judgments. He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornications, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, hallelujah, her smoke, it rises up forever and ever. Did you see the scene? Is anybody happy? Is there anybody that is not happy in heaven on the day of the judgment? The atonement has to be made by these sinners for their sins, and they're going to have to pay forever and ever. Their smoke is arising from the lake of fire. Is there any sadness in glory? Is there anybody with tears? No, it's at that day when it comes, all of us here who trust in Jesus for real shall be so transformed that if a mother was to see her own child in the pit, she would say, hallelujah, praise God. Here's my question. Is there any sadness with God on that day? Is he missing anybody and saying, oh man, I just had to have him and he didn't get saved and I'm so sad and I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to pull him out of hell after like 100 million years. Is that going to happen? He doesn't need us. He chose to use us. He did not need to save us. He wanted to. He did not have to have an elect people. He chose us himself. As to when the angels sent. Did any of the angels actually get mercy? Old Speedy over here.
That's your nickname. It's the next time I see you. Speedy.
She's quick on the trigger. Did any of the fallen angels get mercy? No, no, no. It's the book of Hebrews in chapter 2 says he passed by those angels which sin. It's from Hebrews in chapter 2. And you can either turn or you can listen. Verse number 16. For indeed he doesn't give any help, aid, assistance unto the angels. Once those angels sinned, everything was lost in their soul. Is all bets were off. Is all mercy was taken away. And they were under the judgment of God, strict justice. But he does help. Is he does assist. Is he does give aid unto the seed of Abraham. Who are the seed of Abraham? The righteous? Whoever believes. I'm righteous by faith. I'm a child of Abraham by faith in Christ. Me and you are children of Abraham. How? By faith in Christ. There is absolutely no excluding us from any of the promises of God just because this is black skin. I have as much of God's promises as any Jew, including Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And anybody that's in Israel right now has absolutely nothing more of God than me and you who trust in Christ, right? Now, if he rejected all the angels which sent, and the angels are much more glorious, much more powerful, and they're much more mighty, intelligent, strong, and brilliant, but he cast them all away, is he reserved them in chains of darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And the only thing that the devils have to look forward to is what? Hell eternal. As to when our Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, is the demons would cry out, have you come to torment us before our time? Oh, let us have a little bit more time. If he cast him out of the man that was possessed, that was called Legion, in his authority he sent the it's the demons into the swine. Didn't you remember as to what happened with the swine? It's they ran off a cliff. That's the demon's destiny. And everybody who's filled with a demon at the judgment day is going to hell. But God Almighty had mercy on us simply because he chose to. He wanted to. And he did it with his shed blood. And he uses us in ministry, not because he needs us. If it wasn't me, the Almighty God, if I wasn't on my game, he would have raised up somebody else from your midst or from elsewhere, even better than me, to preach the gospel of God's grace into your heart and save your soul. and strengthen your ministry. He would have got the job done. He didn't need me. But he decided to use me. And that's my privilege. He already had fish cooked, bread. It was him who told them as to how to catch fish. He helped them. But then when they came on shore, if you head back, please, it's the book of John, chapter number 21, verse number 10. Bring some of the fish which you have just caught. That is our privilege. It's our privilege to serve God. It's our privilege to be holy. It's our privilege to love people. It's our privilege to be used by God in the gospel, and He uses us because His business is to transform sinners, is to change us, is to renew us, it is to humble us and make us useful creatures. A new creation to serve God in the power of the Spirit. It's His doing, it's our privilege, and it's our joy. Oh, we get to bring a few of our fish and put them on the fire and eat and satisfy our souls in serving other people for the glory of God and the good of every one of us that's involved. So keep this in mind as we move forward. I'm not a big shot, I'm privileged. I'm not necessary, but I'm thankful I'm being used. I'm less and the least of all the saints. That's what Paul said. And if the Lord Jesus had pleased, Paul would have went to hell as Saul, and he would have called that man that was standing right next unto him and called out his name and showed him mercy. So let's be humble. Let's be thankful. Let's be serving our Lord Jesus Christ. You got that? Back to John chapter number 21. Let's read verse 11 and 12. And so Simon Peter, as he went up and dragged the net to land, and it was full of large fish, 153. This may be a picture of out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. I don't know how God counts that. But it seems it's a picture of a great catch among many nations. And although there were so many, the net of the gospel, it was not broken. Jesus said to them, verse 12, come and eat breakfast. Now, this really shocked me and amazed me in an amazingly good way. That the Lord Jesus, after he left heaven, he came back down into this earth again. Is you know that he came down the first time, right? He is from everlasting. He is God. It's Isaiah 9, please. But the thing I'm saying is that he came down here a second time. It's Isaiah 9 talks about him coming down here the first time. And it's all about Christ. It is Christ whom we preach, no matter the scripture. It could be Old Testament, it could be New Testament, it could be Psalms, It could be prophets. It could be the book of Kings or Chronicles. And in Isaiah 9, verse number 6, it says this. Look at this mighty God who came down the first time. Here's why bondage is broken. For unto us a child is born. And in my Bible, it's a capital C. It's talking about Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. And unto us a son is given. He was already God's son, but He was given unto us. And the government, it will be upon His shoulders. He exercises all dominion. He has lordship. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord over all the devils, all mankind, all things and all events. It's the government is upon His shoulder. And His name, it shall be called. It's wonderful. In the book of Judges, it's the angel of the Lord was in the offering fire. And he went up into heaven, and Samson's mother and father looked on and said, he did, it's wonderful what he did. He's wonderful. He's marvelous. He's miraculous. He's the Savior of sinners. He's Counselor. He's got all of the wisdom of God. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. God Almighty, He came down unto us in the first time He came into this world. That was God's equal who came and became a baby to save us and redeem us from our sins, right? That was God. But then after the cross, what happened unto Him? Where did He go after Calvary's tree when He said, it's finished? With a loud voice, not wimpy, not defeated. He died a victor, a champion, a king, a mighty God. What did He say? It's finished. And His next word was, Father, woo-hoo, into Your hand I commend my spirit. I'm going back to God. Right then, He left that cross in His body, went back unto God, and sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. His payment was paid. His blood was accepted. And that's why God the Father, on the third day, He raised Him up again. He came back into His body after He left heaven, and the worship and praise of all of His people. The angels adored Him as to when He entered into paradise. He told the thief, what? Today. Not in 3 days. Today you'll be with me in paradise. He went home and sat down with God, and they worshiped Him. They were amazed at what had been accomplished. They couldn't believe their eyes. Look at this God who died for sinful men and put away their transgressions. They worshiped. And He came back after 3 days. And He got back into His body. If He made a fire, if you look again, verse number 20, or chapter number 21 of John, He's serving us still. Come and eat breakfast. Eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask Him, who are you? They knew it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Only He can act like that. Only He can have that kind of power. Only He can be resurrected from the dead and then come back and serve us. What a mighty God. His meekness, His humility is unfathomable. And He's still serving us now by the Holy Spirit. Right? It's the book of John, in chapter number 14, in verse 18, our Lord Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you.
I'm going to be resurrected. And I'm going to come back unto you for a few days. But I'm coming again, how? By the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to abide with you forever. It's the Holy Spirit is Christ in His church. That's why He's called the Spirit of Christ. Is He makes known Christ. He's His own separate person in the Godhead, but He reveals unto us Christ and gives us the comfort. Is a man is able to have... If a man is able to have everything in religion, but the comfort, if he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He can have the truth. He can have a rational mind and understand truth. But he can't have the comfort and the conviction, the assurance that comes from believing. That's what our religion needs. I think it's what the pastor said on Monday. A Christ in you, the hope of glory, the comfort of the Holy Spirit in the gospel. Christ has come back unto us to serve us. It's the book of Matthew, chapter number 20. I want to ask you a question. It's a pointed question. Are you serving a serving God? Are you serving our Lord Jesus Christ, who serves you still? Is He comforting you? Is He ministering unto us by the gospel? Is He still washing our feet? Even though I'm bringing Him fish, souls I'm saving, He's already satisfied at the right hand of God and sending His Spirit in my heart to give me comfort, peace, joy, strength, power over sin. That's a serving God. And that's the thing of the gospel. As we bow down to the Lordship of Christ, absolute Lord, and trust His saving power, that's how He ministers with us, His Holy Spirit. But from Matthew in chapter 20, let me just read in verse number 25 through verse number 28, excuse me. And then I want to go to Acts 2. But in Matthew 20, verse 25, this was after the disciples are arguing over who would be the greatest, and that is just like us, our sin, our pride, our flesh. Matthew 20:25. But Jesus called them to Himself and said, as you know that the rulers that are in Nigeria and in the USA, as they lord it over them, is they bully them. And that those who are great
It's the exercise, its authority, dominion over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you, let him become your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. If you're the big shot, you got to be the slave. You got to serve people from your soul. And we'll look at that a bit later with our brother Peter. Verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, he is served, but he serves more than he is served. He serves us more than we serve him. Is that true? Still, every day? He's washing our feet every day. He's forgiving us of sin. He's comforting us. He's helping us. All the strength I have is from the Holy Spirit serving me. And so even our praises have been ministered unto us by God. It was King David who said, everything that we have to give you, it came from you. Who are we to even have a willing heart to give God glory in the gospel or our money or our time? It's a miracle of grace. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's the nature, that's the character of Christ. Acts chapter 2, please. If you want the Holy Spirit, how many of you want the Holy Spirit? Here is a foolproof way. It can't be stopped. It can't be broken. It will never fail. Of obtaining the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2. Verse number 37 and 8. Now when they heard this, is they heard that our Lord Jesus is both his Lord and Christ. He's both Lord and Savior. Absolute Lord, absolute Savior. 100% Lord and 100% Savior. It's not 99% in any equation. Absolute Lord, absolute Savior. I'm absolutely in submission unto Him. That's what Lord means. And so when the people had heard this, verse 37, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I've crucified Christ. I've been living in my sins. I've been in rebellion against his lordship. I've been disobedient unto the Son of God. What shall I do? If you're pricked, if you're cut unto the heart, here's what you do. Then Peter said to them, verse 38, repent, repent. That means turn from your sin unto the lordship and the saving power of Jesus Christ. Turn your life over unto him. Bow down unto him supremely and absolutely in all things, in all ways that are written in the New Testament. Bow down totally unto Jesus Christ. How many can do that? How many are interested? Is that the kind of relationship that me and you want to have with Christ, with God? Or do we think I can be happy, I can have the Holy Ghost, and I can still be boss? I can have comfort, and I can still be doing me. I can live for me. I can use my gifts, I can use my time, I can use my life in any way that I want to, and I'm going to have heaven, have God, have prayer, have confidence, have comfort, and have access into the promises of the gospel. Is I want everything that he has except obedience and suffering. Am I going to get the Holy Ghost? Absolute surrender is required. There is no other way. There isn't any other door. There isn't any other path. This is the straight and narrow. Not the wide. And there are few that find this. It isn't because it isn't preached. Men just don't want to squeeze in and leave everything behind, my self-will, and come to him as a sinner. And say, by the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I surrender because it's the Father made him Lord. He put away sin, and so the Father has highly exalted him. He made him our master. If you went, I'm into Egypt, in the days of our brother Joseph, it was a great famine in the land. And so what did Pharaoh tell all the people? If you want bread, you have to go see. You got to go to Joseph. If you want salvation, if you want mercy, if you want Christ's comfort, if you want him to deal tenderly with you, if you want forgiveness, it's me and you. We got to go see our Lord Jesus Christ. And King Pharaoh said, as he had him in his chariot, bow the knee. But there is a second aspect. I'm coming to a Savior. He's both Lord and Christ. He's both Lord and Savior. I'm trusting him to save me. And salvation, saints, it involves two things. It's a forgiveness of my transgressions. And it's powered through obeying. Are you trusting our Lord Jesus Christ for those two things? If you are, that is salvation. And that's exactly what our brother Peter is preaching here. Then Peter said to them, it's repent. It's a command. It's an order from God. It is something that is to be done now, not later. You don't want to wait on this. This must get done. It's the only entrance. It's the only way. It's the only hope I've got. He is my Lord now. And let every one of you be baptized and admit that you have been saved in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He's saying, admit it publicly that he saved you at the cross. Admit it publicly that his blood takes away your sins. and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's how it happens each and every time. It's the Holy Spirit comes and He shows us the truth of Jesus Christ. He's Lord. He's Savior. It's the sinner is under conviction. It's the saint, he bows down unto this Lordship, trusting Him to save my soul, strength over my sin, and total acceptance through the shed blood of Christ. And when we do that, it's in the power of the Spirit. It's He helped us. He ministered this bended knee. He put this faith inside of our hearts. And then as He rewards it with the gift of Himself, the comfort, the joy, the peace, the power, the hope, the praise, the contentment, the stillness of soul, happiness, fruit of the Spirit. And please, just because at Pentecost it's the people spoke in other known languages, don't let that sidetrack you from the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's still coming in power in our hearts, in repentance and faith, to enable us to live the Christian life with joy. And that's the only joy that's on this planet that's from God. So if I'm in relationship with Him, I'm perpetually bowing, I'm perpetually trusting, and He's perpetually filling me up. That's the gospel. Because I want to tell a story a little bit later, but I'm into it now. It's a woman named Joni Erickson Tada, and she's been paralyzed since her early 20s. It was an accident while she was swimming. And this woman says that if she can't move anything, but she's comforted because she had to bow unto her situation. He's Lord, I'm not. It is in her testimony, it's the sovereignty of God. What does it mean, the sovereignty of God? He's boss over everything at all times, even the devils, even the bad, even the things that happen that hurt. Ask Job. Our God was in charge of his trial. And when he bowed to it and said, I've been saying stuff I ought not talk. I questioned you with my mouth. I challenged you. I've said that I'm more righteous than God. I've said it's not fair. I challenged God. I murmured after he bowed in the dust. I hate myself, he said. I repent, he said, right? He said, I repent. It was no more pity party. He's still sick. He's still broke. He's still plagued from head to toe. He bowed. And after he bowed, then he was told to pray for his friends. And after he did that, that's when God healed him. It's always by submission. He'll never give his spirit if I'm living in sin. He'll give his spirit to bring me into conviction that I got to get out of this. And I'm trusting Jesus Christ to obey him as my boss, as my life, as my Lord, as my master, as my king, as my glory, as my hope, as my everything. That's how the Spirit comes. He serves us. He ministers our conviction. He changes our spirit. He gives us hope and joy. Just like that fish, it was already cooking. And he said, I'll come and eat breakfast. I made something for you. Let's go back, please, into the book of John. And if you have questions, please, if you write them down, it'll be plenty of time at the end of this for any questions on anything I've said that isn't clear. Verse number 13 through 15 is important unto me. It helps me a lot. Let's pick it up at verse number 13, and then we're going to pull out something at verse number 15. John 21:13. Jesus then came and took the bread, and he gave it unto them, and likewise a fish. He's still serving them, even though he's the Son of God that has put away our sins with his death upon the cross. Verse 14, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So he is convicting them and he's giving them proof of his power and of his reality. Verse number 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? What does he mean by that? Do you love me more than these? As to what is he saying? Is you? Fish. That's a good stab at it. I have heard men who preach the gospel. That's what they say. But other men, and I'm convinced he's humbling our pride. As you see, Peter, it's the book of Matthew in chapter 26. This is what I'm talking about. If our brother Peter had said, that he loved Christ even more than everybody else. He had said he would never deny Christ. He would follow him unto the death, and he denied him how many times? And the Lord is going to ask him, if you love me, how many times? I think that's the connection. But if you look in Matthew chapter number 26, here is our bold, it's our audacity, it's our pride, it's our self-righteousness, it's our self-gloating, it's our evil in our religion, in our service. If we really love God, if we really serve God, then we still have this inside of us, and it must be, it's eradicated, it's humbled, it is broken down, it is chopped down consistently over and over. This afternoon I was praying a prayer, Lord, make me humble. How can I be humble? I don't have any idea, except it came, he'll do it. I don't know how to be humble in my own strength. The only thing I know is if I can see Christ and he's in me by the Spirit, that's the only hope I have, plus trials and tribulations must come. Hardship must come. Temptations must come to humble us and to keep our pride in check. Because it's abominable and it's in us all. We think that we're better than others in the kingdom, and it's not true. It is true that Peter swam, right? He swam. But the other ones had the responsibility of the boat and the fish. And it was John who said, "That's the Lord." He knew first. It was John that outran Peter up to the tomb. But his personality is to stay at the door and watch. It was Peter. He's brash and bold. He rushed in, but he's not better. Him swimming unto Jesus is not better. It's just his first, it's how God made him. If I'm a leader, I'm not better. It's a gift I got from God. It doesn't mean that I don't love God, but it does not mean that a woman who can hardly speak English doesn't have a closer relationship with Christ than I do. Just because I have knowledge to preach, that doesn't mean that I love God more than somebody who can't preach. Right? Look what Peter said. It's the book of Matthew, chapter number 26. Verse number 34 and 5. Actually, let's begin it at verse number 32. And the Lord Jesus says, "But after I have been raised," and so I'm in Matthew chapter 26. Verse number 32, "After I have been raised, as I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "It is even if all are made to stumble," even if everybody else, if it's James, if it's John, if it's Matthew, if it's Andrew, if it's Nathaniel, if all of them stumble because of you, I'll never stumble. I'll never fall down. I'm the best Christian in the building. Is it what he's saying? Verse number 34. Jesus said to him, "Assuredly," because I want you to get this, Peter, "I say to you that this night before a rooster crows, you shall deny me three times." Since you're talking so proudly, you shall deny me three times. And it will be on record in all of the Gospels. Peter said unto him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And look what it says. And so said all the disciples. All of us think more highly of ourselves than we should. Right? At this hour. So when you turn back, please, it's the book of John in chapter number 21, but verse number 15. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than everybody else?" Are you a better Christian than everybody else? He said to him, look what he says. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you with affection, but I'm not ever again in my life going to utter that I'm better than anybody else that's in the kingdom of God." I don't know their heart. I don't know their gifts. This person might be quiet and serve God and put me to shame. An open shame. I love you with affection, Lord Jesus. That's what His word means. It's like it's the love that Jonathan had with King David. It exceeded his love of women. It's our Lord Jesus Christ is loved by Peter in a special way. That's like with me and you, with our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, with affection and compassion and love and pity and kindness and friendliness. It's the kind of love that a wife is supposed to have towards her husband. It's a friendly love. It is more than the love I have towards my enemy or a stranger. It's a companionship. That's how Peter said, I love you, Jesus, and you know it. And so we said unto him, feed my lambs. There isn't anything I can give God to help God. He's got everything already. If he was hungry, he would not tell us, but I can feed his lambs. That's how I show my love towards him, his people. I serve his people with humility. Verse number 16 and verse number 17, please. This will be our last portion here in the book of John. It's as far as we're going to go this evening in John. And so he said unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you with affection. And he said unto him, Tend my sheep, take care of my sheep. He said unto him the third time, and by now our brother Peter is really catching on, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Let that ring in our hearts. Do you love me? Is that what this thing is all about? Is it a love affair? Do you love me, he said, because I first loved you? Do you love our Lord Jesus Christ because he took away your sins? I can see your service. I can see you sitting. I can hear myself preaching. But is it because of love towards Christ? Because he loved us and he washed away our sins with his blood. He gave us eternal life. He chose us. He predestinated us. He saved us. He picked us. I'm a Peter instead of a Judas at the appointment of God. Right? A sovereign God. He decided I'd be Peter instead of Judas. He'd be Judas. Do you love him because of it? Are you in love with the power of the Holy Ghost, the comfort of the gospel, power over sin, joy and peace? He's so comforting. His service is so good because he's a good God. Do you love him? Not just serve him, do you love him? Not just come to hear him, not just preach him, but do you love him because he first loved you? Is you love him? Ask yourselves that question. Do you love him? And so Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, I think he caught on. Oh, I denied you three times and now you're asking me three times. And our past sin, it can grieve us still, but look to Christ. and love him now. Because he saved you. Even when we denied him, he was still merciful. He was God on a mission. He saved us. He will not let us go because of his pity and compassion, his kindness, his shed blood. He did it all. He did everything. And it's him still that does it all. It is in the Holy Spirit now. It's him working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. It is God that's at work in you and me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God. All God. 100% God. He changes us. He changes our will. He gives us more grace. Do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know everything. You can look down in my heart. If you know heaven and earth and all about me, you know that I love you with affection. Can you say that? In the delight of your soul, in spite of all of our sins, can we say, I love you? Oh, you love me, Lord. You're so lovable. You're so wonderful. You're so gracious. You're so kind. You're so pitiful. Is you so merciful? Is you so tenderhearted? Is you help me? You spared me, Lord. How can I not? I love you with affection. I love you more than anything else. I love the Son of God. I love your gospel. I love your word and your service and your spirit. It's your rules, it's your commands, it's your sovereignty, it's your power, it's your hope, it's your gospel, it's your heaven, everything about you. I love you because you're lovely. He's a good God, is he not? He's a good God, is he not? A good and gracious God. He's worthy of service. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to send us to hell, and yet he showed us mercy. And he did it with his own shed blood. He didn't need anybody's help. He went on the cross by himself. He's a lovely God. He forgives sin over and over. He washes our feet every day. Do you love him? I love him. And I want to love him more, and I will. And Jesus said unto him, what? If you talk, Haitian Moon, all that good stuff about as to how you love God, feed my people. The Almighty God needs absolutely nothing from me and you. But I can serve him and you can serve him by feeding and loving and being kind and caring for his people. His people. Here's a way. It's Ephesians 4. And to love is hard, is it not? It's hard loving people. They're incorrigible. They have bad behavior. Even saints are wicked and cruel at times. And indifferent, just like me and you, and cold-hearted toward God, the things of God, and other people whom we should be loving. Everybody isn't lovable all the time. I've got my bad times. I've got my bad statements and my attitude problems. And at my best, I'm unlovely. Unlovely. But do you love the Lord Jesus enough to love me, even though I'm a faulty Christian? I'm not perfect in this flesh. I'm not special like I've left this body of sickness and pain and shame and past regret. I've got them, but can you love me? And can I love you in spite of our failures? Because we got them. Nobody in this building is perfect. I'm not as good as Peter. And he fell down shamefully, right? I'm telling the truth here. This will make a church a happy place. But we got to practice it. Verse number 1 and 2 from Ephesians 4. Now in chapter number 3 at the end, we discussed it. It's on the love of Christ that each of us might be filled with the fullness of God. As I see His love, I'm supernaturally empowered to love God and to live the Christian life, right? So chapter number 4, the verse number 1 and 2, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. And as to why is Paul in prison? It's to get the gospel unto the Gentiles. That's why they locked him up. He's preaching for our sake. He's writing for our sake. If I beg you, as I beseech you, I earnestly entreat you to walk worthy of the calling. How? How do I walk worthy of the calling which me and you have been called? With all lowliness. Is I'm a preacher. I'm nobody. I would be in hell but for the grace of God. I would not be able to talk but for the grace of God. I would not be able to preach without the power of the Spirit that's freely given unto me. I haven't earned anything in my life with God. It's all by grace. Be lonely. If you look at Peter, as to what made him so lonely after Pentecost, is he remembered, I failed. I talked big and I didn't back it up. And the Lord Jesus is right. It's without Him I can do nothing. And so for that reason, let me go treat somebody else with loneliness and patience. It's the Lord Jesus said, except you become like a little child, that you can't enter the kingdom. And for us who like children, it's the way you have patience with a child and you humble yourself and you speak kindly with a child, is we need to be doing that even with these adults. It's with lowliness and kindness. It's with gentleness, even though a person's wrong. How do you correct? If you can hear me in the back. It's the medical mission. If you're sick, if you have something wrong with you, are you going to come? I hope you all come. I hope you bring people. But if you're hurting, do you want the doctor to just smack you? Or with your arm, huh? Well, no. That's the sinner that's in our churches. That's our brethren who stumble and fall down. That's me and you who have an attitude at times. I need a person to come tell me I can preach better in gentleness, in kindness, and humility. Oh, I can hear them. It already hurts enough as it is to be a sinner.
Our brother Peter's already grieved. But the Lord Jesus,
he didn't smack him around. He said, do you love me? Let us be reminding each other that we love Jesus. Let's go do this in the right way.
He's done so much for us. He's been so good. Let's follow him. Let's obey. Let's
be kind unto each other. It's with long suffering.
I have to bear patiently with somebody that's wrong and that's hurt my feelings or made me angry. I have to suffer. I have to wait on God to change that person. I have to pray. I have to go to the throne of grace. And it may be 100 times in prayer just to get the anger out of your heart. To be able to actually pray for this person in your heart.
It's with long suffering. I'm going to put up with you. I'm going to deal patiently with you. It is bearing with one another. I make mistakes. Even as I'm preaching, I believe I'm being convicted of a mistake I made in pride. But it's bearing with one another in love. Let's be kind. Let's be patient. Let's be good unto one another for our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we can't say, I love God and hate you. I can't mistreat you and claim the love of God. I have to go back unto the Father and say, I repent. Help me to be obedient. And then the Holy Spirit comes as you trust the saving power of Jesus Christ. His blood, his righteousness at the cross, his obedience that makes all of us to be righteous in the sight of God. How? By faith is by looking unto Jesus. It is by believing. Is repentance. It brings me to God as a sinner for forgiveness and cleansing. Straighten me out. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we pray unto you, as we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and for the meetings that we have had and for making us aware of the gospel. You minister unto us by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for being a ministering God that keeps on giving and giving. Bring others unto Jesus Christ. Bring them to the point of conviction and crisis. Make them confess our Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, Father, humble us. Help us to be kind and Christian people. Help us have an authentic relationship of love with you. For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, Father, help us to love one another. For Christ's sake. Amen.